What a great time in worship today. The more and more, as we've gone into this study, and I feel like the burden lifting, and from each week, I long to be here. Amen. On Sunday morning, and when you dwell on the Word, it helps lift up that burden, you know, the heaviness of the world and the things that the world tries to oppress against you. He's in the process of changing us, you know, become more like Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, the name above all names. Father, have your will and your way. Encounter us right now, Lord Jesus, that your word would go forth out of my mouth, that I might be a vessel of honor. Holy Spirit, flow through me, Lord. Empower me. Fill up this church. Fill this church with your power, Lord, that we might know you better, Lord Jesus, that we would become more like you and less of us, that you would increase and we would decrease, Lord. Let your word go forth and let it bring forth fruit for your glory, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Is Holly coming back? Okay. She will. Okay. Okay, got it. All right, well, Philippians chapter 3, our opening text. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Here it is, folks, again, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. For those who haven't been here, we've been using that as our foundational text in Scripture, as we've done a study, a character study, really on Peter, and it's really transitioned into a character story of Peter and how he came to know the Lord Jesus and how he's been transformed to now where Peter is writing to us, the believers, on how we are to be transformed by knowing him. And so let's pick up, and I love this 1 Peter chapter 1, and I hope you are not getting tired of hearing it. We are going to close out on 1 Peter chapter 1 today. So let's just read Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, writes to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Not the world's peace. He's talking about the peace the Lord gives us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. Our living hope is in Jesus. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled, and it does not fade away. And where is it? It's reserved in heaven for you and I. And we are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And in this, because you have a living hope, because we look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, to reveal ourselves, it says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Last week I asked you, how many are going through trials? Everyone raised their hand. Everyone experiences trials in this life. There's suffering that goes on. And you're grieved by them, but the genuineness of your faith is much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to what? Praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love. You love him, though you have not seen him. Though you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with what? with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully. They've prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who is in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. So as a result, you have this living hope, and you look to the author and finisher of your faith, and you look to salvation, and he transitions, and he says, "What? Therefore, because of all these things, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Arm your mind. Arm your mind with that armor, right? Be sober," which is being self-controlled. "Practice self-control and rest your hope. Set your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." If you set your focus on the return of Jesus Christ, if you set your hope on that, that's looking at something with eternal significance, is it not? So all things that we do, because we know that if we're doing things for the Lord and we're producing fruit, that when he returns, how would you want to be found? Would you want to be found in the world when he returns, or do you want to be found doing his business? Amen. Yes. So rest your hope fully upon the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as he who has called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, "Be holy, for I am holy." We spent some time there, right, about holiness. And it's an action. It's a process, the sanctification of the saint. You and I, we're called to be holy. It's not easy. "And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work," right? We learned last week, God is the judge. Yes, God is love, but God is also the judge. That should motivate you to act in holiness. "Conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear." Why? Because we're pilgrims. Amen. We're pilgrims here. This is not our home. We look to a heavenly home. "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by the tradition of your fathers." The world continues to beat into you the things to pursue of this world. But you were redeemed. You were purchased, right? You were purchased at the auction block by the blood of Jesus Christ, and now you are therefore a bondservant. We learned that last week about a bondservant. We are bondservants to the Lord Jesus. We are free in the Lord Jesus because we love our master and we want to stay in him and with him. "So we were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. For he indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world." Before the foundation of the world, he was ordained that he would die on the cross for you and I. "But was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that so your faith and your hope are in God." Right? The Holy Spirit resides in each and every one of you. I asked you, where is the Holy Spirit? Does the Holy Spirit reside in you? You said, yes. And that same resurrection power resides inside you. The same power that rose Jesus from the dead, the Holy Spirit resides inside you. And he's trying to work inside you, to do a work inside you, that your faith would be built and that your hope would be in God. And so here we go. We're closing out now in 1 Peter. "Since you have purified your souls," verse 22, "in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever." See, that theme keeps kind of like, as you read through 1 Peter, it's like this theme keeps circling around. He keeps telling you all these things over and over again. "So you've been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flowers of the grass. The grass withers, and its flowers fade away or fall away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word by which by the gospel was preached to you." And point number one, as we read this section here, actually, you know what? I'm sorry. Before I jump there, didn't have that in my notes. We are going to get into 1 Peter 2 as well. So, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And then he transitions again. He says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So point number one is, you are purified in obedience.
Amen.
You are purified in obedience to the truth of the word of the Lord. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 3 through 8, Paul talks about it. He says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds towards each other. He just talked about that, loving one another, didn't he? So that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all persecutions and tribulations that you endure. How are you purified? Through the fire, right? So through persecutions, right? Which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you. And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. See, he doesn't, even Paul isn't promising you, you know, the best life now here on this earth. He's saying you're going to have persecutions, but there's going to be a rest. And that rest comes. What does Jesus say? Enter into your rest. He doesn't say enter into your rest now because you've come to me. No, he says, when I come and get you, he said, now enter into your rest, you true and faithful servant. Right? You with me?
Yes.
So, when the Lord Jesus revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, and here it is, in flaming fire, he's going to take vengeance on those who do not know God. And on those who do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, to know him is to obey him. And so he's going to consume them in fire, correct? He's going to take vengeance with fire. Where will non-believers be cast into? The lake of fire. See, it comes down to faith or belief, which actually coincides with obedience. Romans chapter 1 verse 5 says, through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith.
Amen.
You receive grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you are also are the called of Jesus Christ. Say, I am called.
I am called.
Romans 16, 25 through 27 says, now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but is now made manifest and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith to God alone wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Obedience. You are purified. You are purified in obedience to the truth. And John 15:10 says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. And Jesus says, how do you abide in love? He says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love.
Right.
Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. He abides in his Father's love and he kept the commandments. So who is he? He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the example that we should be following. And so if you want to rest in Jesus' love, if you want to hold there and stay in that place, you must keep his commandments.
Amen.
See, it is our faith and obedience to the gospel that purifies us. And what happens is we are changed on the inside. It doesn't mean we're perfect. It doesn't, you know, but the point is we are growing more and more like our Savior, Jesus. Day in and day out. The very first day you've come, then there's this ongoing process. The very first day you yielded your life to Jesus. And then from that point forward, there's a work being done inside you. And you're to grow more and more like him as you pursue holiness. This is not easy, Why? Because there's a war going on inside each and every believer, right? Yeah. There's a war going on inside us every day. And it's not fun to beat yourself into submission, to beat that flesh into submission. It's not always easy to be obedient, but it comes down to focus. What are you focusing on? What are you focusing on? Do you focus on your circumstances? Do you focus on what you don't have? Do you focus on things of the world, or are you focusing on Jesus? It's about Jesus. So Paul says, 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 17, therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And I think about the voice of the martyrs, and we think about that study, the I am an N, right? Yes. Over in the Middle East, the Christians are labeled with this sign which says, I am a Christian, I am an N. And I think about them, how they're being purified in their faith, because they suffer intensely. We know nothing of that suffering here in America today. There will probably be a time where that will come. But they suffer intensely. And they're being purified, though. Their faith is being purified. Yet they are obedient to the end.
That's right.
They are obedient to the end. In fact, all the disciples were obedient to the end.
That's right.
All of them died except for the beloved John, being obedient to the gospel. How does that prove the best life now? How does that prove the best life now? The hand-picked disciples, the closest to Jesus whom he picked and charged, said, go out into the world. You know, they didn't get this like appointed position and all the wealth of the world or anything. You know, they had persecution and suffering, but they kept on. They ran their race, and it is a process purified. So we're purified through the obedience to the truth. Two, we're born again incorruptible through the word. So we are born again unto incorruptible seed. And because we're first born as humans to what? A perishable seed. It's been corrupted by sin. But we've been born again incorruptible through the word. And I looked at this completely different now. The parable, right? The parable of the seed.
Yes.
Luke 8:11-15. Now, when you think about this, look at it. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God.
Amen.
Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rocks are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, but they have no root, right? And who believe for a while, but in time of temptation, they fall away. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. John says, in the beginning was the Word,
Amen.
And the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Right.
And he was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. For there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not the light, but was the one sent to bear witness of the light. And that was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. Know him. How does that keep coming up? Know him. And he came to his own, and his own didn't receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. If you receive Jesus, you have the right to become a child of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And so he closes and he says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Looking at that parable of the seed now, it takes on a whole different approach when you read it, when you think of the Word as Jesus.
Amen.
Those who receive Jesus, it gives them more light of the understanding about those who will fall away or fade away, or the love of many waxing cold. They're never really fully committed to Jesus. They bought into the prosperity message of Jesus. I can improve my life if I add Jesus on top of my existing life versus losing your life to Him, surrendering to Him as Lord and as King.
Amen.
You see, there's a difference.
Oh, yes.
There's a real change in your life that happens. Otherwise, if you just add Jesus on top, you're bound to fit in one of those three categories. By the wayside, cast on the rocks with no deep roots. So when the heat comes, it shrivels you up. You have no roots because it's not in Christ. You just added Christ on top. Or you're the one that temptation, the things of the world drag you away and it chokes. It chokes anything of Jesus that you had inside you. But you who have accepted Jesus with a noble and good heart, you keep it. You keep Him and you bear fruit as a result.
Amen.
Right? So as you are pursuing holiness, what happens is you become a fruit bearer. For His glory,
amen,
not for your own. Doesn't that whole parable take on a different approach when you think of it? I always read it as the Word of God. And I'm thinking, well, wait a second. He is the Word of God.
Amen.
Jesus is the Word of God.
Preach it.
James 1:18 says, of His own will He brought us forth by the Word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. See, we came to know God and were born again by the Word of truth. See, God uses His Word, the Bible, to reveal Himself to us.
Right.
People share the good news contained in His Word, and people are, as a result, they are born again. We sow seeds of truth by sharing His Word and sharing the gospel. And as a result, we produce fruit because people are transformed on the inner through the power of His Word. Right? Renewing of your mind. As a result, what happens is you put on the incorruption of Jesus' righteousness.
Hallelujah.
That's being born again. You put on righteousness because why? Our righteousness is as filthy rags. The things we do in life, we cannot draw closer to God by our own good deeds. Being good does nothing. It's filthy rags. Our good deeds are filthy rags when God looks at them. He has to look at you through Jesus' righteousness, and then you are saved. Staying on the incorruption, right? This I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit. This is 1 Corinthians 15:50-56. Corruption does not inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. We are born with corruptible seed, and then when we put on Jesus, we put on the incorruption. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, Jesus conquered it all. He
Amen.
Gives us victory over sin. He gives us victory over death that we might have eternity in Him. Hallelujah. You see, you... Hi. Don't be lured in by the world. Don't be lured in by our world. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. You see, the world always looks glamorous. And because the world looks glamorous, that's how Satan tries to get you off course.
That's right.
The world is so polished, and he tries to get you off course. I'm pretty sure in Matthew and Luke 4, or is it Mark 4, that the stones looked pretty good to Jesus. When Jesus was in the desert,
right,
when he was on his journey through the desert, Satan tempted him with bread. He was fasting the whole time. I'm sure that looked good, right?
Yeah.
And I'm sure in the heat of day when the kingdoms were put before him, that looked pretty good too. Like, I'm out here in the elements, you know, experiencing extreme heat, exhaustion, 40 days fasting. That's intense. Think about how hot it is outside right now.
Yeah.
And think about that experience. And so the things that Satan offered Jesus, you know, but the word was more important to the Lord, wasn't it?
Amen.
The word was more important. Why? Because he is the word.
Amen.
See, the things Satan offered Jesus and the things he offers us, they fade and they perish. But you who have been called by him, you've been born again through the power of his word. And his word is eternal. Is what the word, that's what we just read in the scripture in 1 Peter.
Right.
It's eternal. It does not fade.
That's right.
The kingdoms that Satan offered Jesus will fade away.
That's right.
Right? When he brings the new Jerusalem, the kingdoms of the world will pass away. All of its glory and splendor as man has created will fade away. Just like the kingdoms of past, Babylon,
right,
Greece, Rome, all of it. It's all fade.
Rubble.
And so as a result, Jesus says, point number three, love is not an option to you. That's the point. Because it says, since you have purified your souls in obedience to the truth, through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. So you're commanded to love one another. John 13, 34, 35, a new commandment I give to you. It's on top of the existing ones. That you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have loved one another. How do people know that you are a disciple of Christ? Love.
Amen.
God will teach you to love. Listen for his voice. Listen to his words. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. Opportunities are there. Just be willing. I told you the story of the client going through the divorce. And I just listened. And I encouraged her. And I was loving on her. And it was noticed as a result. She noticed there was something different about this person standing in front of me. You all have opportunities to let your light shine by loving on people. The sign says loving people back to life. Because someone loved you enough to share the gospel. 1 Thessalonians 4:9, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. So what is this love? Sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. So I just want to dwell on that little part right here. Sincere, a sincere love. And what is that? It's unfeigned. It's without hypocrisy. It's not put on. It's not phony. It's not a phony love. You know what I'm saying here?
Yes.
There are plenty of people who put on that face. And it's not sincere. It's not true. And it's a fervent love. It's a fervent love. What is fervent? It's earnestly. It's strenuously. It's intensely. One description is, it's stretched out with a hand. And I thought about Jesus stretched out with his arms to love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus stretched out on the cross because he loved you and I fervently. What does it mean? It's unwavering. Here's some synonyms: determined, purposeful, resolved, adamant, single-minded, firm, unswerving, unwavering, steadfast, staunch, stalwart, unfaltering, unhesitating, persistent, indefatigable, which is persisting tirelessly, tenacious, strong-willed, and unshakable. That's the kind of love you have to have with the brethren. Do you exhibit that? It's a question. Examine yourself. Not easy. But you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you.
Amen. He's the source.
And finally, it's a pure love. It's a pure love. It's clean. It's pure. It's unstained. It's been purged and purified by God. Purified by fire. And like a similitude, like a vine cleansed or pruned to be fitted to bear fruit. How do you bear fruit? By loving one another. How are you known as his disciple? Loving one another. The relationships forged today through love of the brethren. Do you realize that these relationships are eternal?
Amen.
They're eternal.
Amen.
We're going to be in eternity together, brother, sister. That's why we say those things. We call each other brother and sister because we're all part of a family. And we're going to be in eternity together. To be glory with one another, we need to hold fast to the truth, because the world in all its glory is going to fade, and the word of the Lord, which has purified us in obedience to the truth, will remain forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass, because the grass withers and the flowers fade away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Therefore, right? Therefore. Now I'll add this. Therefore, because you are called, look up, because you are called to love, because you are called to holiness, because you have been born again through the word of truth that endures forever, because you have an inheritance set aside with your name on it, and having a living hope through Christ, which even in the midst of your hardest trials, you have a joy unspeakable and you are full of glory. Therefore, lay aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, all evil speaking. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Lay aside means to set aside. It's like taking off clothes and setting them aside, your dirty clothes. Take off the carnality of the world. Those things of the world, and put on Christ. Lay aside. He says, lay aside malice. What is malice? It's evil. It's wickedness. It's depravity. Take that off. That's of the world. He says, lay aside deceit, which is guile in the King James Version, which is a trick. It's to bait. It's craft, subtly. Think Satan in the garden, right? Is he not crafty? Is he not subtle, twisting truth to a lie?
That's right.
Set that aside. Set aside hypocrisy. Acting under a feigned part. Right? It's the acting of a stage player. That's Take right. the mask off. Be true. Be real. Not just Sunday morning. Don't project a false image. Living holy all the time. Not just when around believers. He says, take off or lay aside envy, jealousy of another person, their things. Are you happy for others? Do you love them? Or let's go back to hypocrisy. Are you wearing a mask that I'm so happy for you, but internally you're really saying, wish I was you and I had those things? Or, you know, you're not truly happy for the person. Again, you cannot fool the Lord. You might be able to fool people, but you cannot fool the Lord. He's a discerner of the heart. Finally, he says, lay aside evil speakings, which is defamation, backbiting, unkind speech. How do you talk to people? Are you building people up? Are you tearing them down? Behind their backs? Are you destroying their character? Of someone that you can do this, you know, by being deceitful. Are you looking to build yourself up, or are you trying to build the other person up?
Amen.
So Peter's challenging the believer. You have all these things in Christ, therefore Stop this stuff. Stop the nonsense. He's smacking you around, saying, hey, set it aside. Take it off. Stop doing it. Be holy. Move on from these things. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. That's how you should be speaking. To build one another up, speaking grace to the hearers. So finally, point number four. Desire his word, for it endures forever, and it is pure. Desire is epipatheo in the Greek, and it says to intensely crave possession, to long for, to pursue with love, and to long after. See, his word is pure, which means there's no deceit in it, only truth.
Amen.
Hebrews 4:12-13, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Just a thought of that scares me. That should motivate you to holiness.
Yes.
You see, when I read this and I was writing this down, I think about, you know what? When I've been studying, it's those ouch points that I'm studying saying, this applies directly to me. Or how about when you're listening right now, or when you've listened to other sermons and the Holy Spirit inside you is convicting you? That's the truth. That's the word of truth convicting your heart, saying, hey, lay aside those things. Change. Thank God for his word. Thank God you are not lost and you have grown callous to his word. Thank God he's chastening you. Why? The Lord chastens those he loves. He loves you. His word cuts through the deception of the enemy and confronts our sin head on.
That's right.
It confronts our sin head on. So Peter is saying you are to crave his word like a newborn babe. Now, having seen this with Caitlin and Jeffrey, they breastfed, and I know exactly what Peter is talking about. All it would take is Caitlin or Jeffrey to get a whiff of mommy's milk, and it was like, I don't care about anything else. I want that. I need that. Right? Think about a newborn babe. So Jen and I learned, and I learned more from Jen, really the first days of when Caitlin was born. They had, you know, the nurses come in, they tell you all the benefits of breastfeeding, but breastfeeding is vital for a baby. Milk is vital for a baby. How awesome is our God that creates the human body this way, but the breast milk passes on antibodies and immunities that protect the baby from illnesses. Just in the milk alone. And it nurtures the baby to grow. I mean, Jeffrey and Caitlin, for the first 6 months, that's all they had was breast milk. They're not eating anything. You eventually expose them to food, but for the first 6 months or longer, all they had was milk. And you were probably the same when you were a little baby. Nothing else. So Peter is saying the word of God will protect you from the enemy and the world. You become transformed by the world through his word, and it changes us to become more like Christ. So our faith grows as we stay in his word.
Amen.
You see, if you crave his word like a baby craves milk, then nothing else will matter other than his word of truth. His word will keep you from falling into the snares of the enemy. And in fact, it'll help you advance against the enemy, because remember, in the armor of God, what is the one offensive weapon? It's the sword of the Spirit. And what is the sword of the Spirit? It's the word of God that proceeds out of every mouth. So as a result, church, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved. A workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Amen.
Study to show yourself approved. I was looking at photos the other day with Caitlin, and it's amazing. You look back and you see the growth. She's 3 years old, and you've probably done this with Christian. You look on your phone from beginning point to end point, right? So like where we're at today, and you see this amazing growth over the years. Now internalize that. Now put it into perspective to you as a believer. Can you look back? Can you look back? Can you examine yourself truthfully? Have you grown in the Word? Or if you look back, do you have no growth? Did you grow more into the world? Examine yourself. If the answer was the latter, you need to repent. You need to get in His Word. You need to read it. You need to study it. Amen. And you need to crave it.
That's right.
It's not easy. It's not easy. You know what? But neither was the cross. Peter is saying that if indeed you have tasted of the Lord's graciousness, His kindness, you would want to know Him more.
Amen.
If you've tasted of His gracious kindness, you've tasted of His grace and His love and His mercy, you want to know Him more.
Amen.
For God demonstrated His own love towards us that He sent His Son while we were still sinners. He died for us. That's Romans 5. That how great the separation, the chasm that laid between us and God. You and I were separated from God, but because of His love, it was Christ dying on the cross that broke down the wall of separation. If you understood this awesome gift of salvation that you have received, that alone should motivate you to be in His Word.
Amen.
Crave it. Crave it. You think about craving, right? Think about food, right? How people crave food. That's how much Peter's telling you you need to crave the Word of God. Because it keeps you. It keeps you. And it protects you. Amen?
That's right. Keeps you holy.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to You in Jesus' name. Father, I thank You for Your Word today.
Yes.
Father, I pray that this take root in the hearts of the believers. That it build them up, Lord Jesus, as we go out into the world this week, Lord. Before we come back together again, Lord Jesus, that You would be glorified, Your name would be lifted on high, Lord. That we would let our light shine and not put under a bushel, Lord Jesus. That we would be in Your Word. That we would study to show ourselves approved, Lord Jesus. That Your Word would go into our hearts and proceed out of our mouth. All for Your glory, Lord Jesus. For You are worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.